In order for New York to hit the greenhouse gas emission goals laid out in a sweeping 2019 state law designed to combat climate change, we're likely going to rely more heavily on battery storage, from everything to our vehicles to the power grid. And New York has the potential to be the home for this battery production, according to my next guest, Stan Whittingham, a distinguished professor of chemistry at Binghamton University, who invented the first rechargeable lithium-ion battery and, oh, by the way, won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for his work in 2019. Welcome to the show, Stan.
Thank you very much.
So I mentioned in the introduction that the utilization of battery storage is an important part of any plan the state has to reduce greenhouse gas emissions moving forward. But can you expand on the environmental benefits from batteries and the different aspects of life where they do or could in the future come in handy?
Yeah, they have a number of potential applications to help clean up the environment. First, if you're using renewable energy like solar or wind, then you have to store that energy because the sun doesn't shine all the time and the wind blows when it feels like it. And that may not be the same time as we need the power. So most of the solar and wind, as soon as they get above about 5% of the grid, will need storage. Storage will also make the grid more resilient. If you have a power outage, then storage will allow you to keep the power going into your homes. And like when we have hurricanes in New York City, it'll allow, for example, gas stations to keep pumping the gas, unlike what happened with Sandy. But the other big area is clearly electric vehicles. If we can eliminate the internal combustion engines, certainly from the centers of large cities like New York City, it'd be much cleaner and much quieter for everybody. So there's a big push to electrify, you know, the buses, electrify delivery trucks, and ideally most of the cars, including, I would hope, Uber cars and taxis over the next 5 to 10 years. That'll make things much, much cleaner for everybody.
And if New York is going to pursue that future, we're going to need these batteries. And moving forward, you're envisioning a future where New York, specifically the southern tier, is the premier hub for lithium-ion battery production. What are you envisioning for your neck of the woods down in the Southern Tier?
So right now, the Southern Tier has several companies involved in that area. So BAE Systems makes electrified buses, hybrid buses. Raymond makes electric forklift trucks. Lockheed Martin is interested for aircraft. But all these batteries are presently imported, all have a major supply chain issue right now. There are plans right now to build a battery factory in an old IBM facility in Endicott here, which will start manufacturing hopefully next year. But that's just the beginning. So with the end users here, with the potential of having a gigafactory here, we really now need to get U.S. technology involved, because right now if we build our factories, we still have to import the equipment from Asia. We have to import much of the chemicals from Asia. It's critical that we, in fact, start doing that in the United States. So one of our missions is to build a facility also in the old IBM facilities in Endicott, which will allow batteries to go from the lab scale to commercial scale using totally new manufacturing technology. So we hope to get U.S. manufacturers involved, people like Applied Materials, to come up with new machines that will leapfrog the Asian technology, make the batteries lower cost, and make them local so we can't be held at ransom by politicians or by the critical supply chain we have right now.
Aside from the planned battery manufacturing that's scheduled for the early part of 2022 in the Binghamton area, what makes this area particularly ripe for this kind of development? Because historically, the Southern Tier has not been a place where anyone wants to put any sort of high-tech job, whether it's because of the environment or the lack of population or the lack of infrastructure. So why do you think it makes sense?
Well, I think one has to remember that this is where IBM started out, a high-tech company. They were very large until about 15 years ago when they phased out most of their manufacturing in the United States. So we have the buildings. We have still some of the personnel. You know, the manufacturing skills are still based here. We have low electricity costs. We have a railroad goes right in the middle of that old IBM facility. So we can bring in supplies, ship out products. And as I said, we've got people like Corning, BAE Systems, Lockheed Martin, all very close, who will be the end users for these batteries. And clearly to meet the state goals of eliminating CO2 in the next 20 or so years and having, I think it's something like 5 gigawatt hours of storage on the grid, we need those batteries. And probably the southern tier combined with Rochester, where we're doing some collaboration, probably the lowest cost places in New York State to actually do that manufacturing.
In order to facilitate the existing battery production plans for the region, New York had to offer up about $7.5 million in incentives. What would the state have to do to help realize the additional battery production that you're envisioning? Would there need to be some sort of incentive package to sweeten the potential of making this a bigger manufacturing area? Or do you think that it's appealing enough on its own that there wouldn't need to be state incentives like subsidies?
So what we have proposed through URIs, RDCs, which basically feed into ESD and NiStar, is a facility that would probably have $30 million worth of equipment in it and an operating budget of around about $1 million a year for 10 years. So we need state money to get it started. That could obviously be matched by federal money, which might be easier to get now with the new funding efforts underway in Washington. So it needs initial funding, what we call CapEx, to get it started. We'd then get companies involved, and it would then become self-supporting.
This is an area of technology where we're envisioning lots of big breakthroughs, particularly in the storage itself. So is there any concern on your part that if we do, say, build a facility in the Southern Tier 5 years from now, the technology could be out of date? Or is there safeguards that could be put in place to ensure that anything that's being made there reflects the latest technology and the latest breakthroughs?
Well, we plan to design it in such a way that each unit in this manufacturing effort will be flexible enough so we can take it out and replace it with the next generation unit. So our goal, is, as I said, is really to leapfrog the Asian technology. We want to build the latest possible manufacturing line, but then also continuously upgrade it with companies that are interested in building the equipment that would make batteries, which doesn't really exist in the United States today.
If you were able to realize this vision, do you think that there would be additional businesses that would then pop up around this as offshoots?
Without question, there'll be supply chain companies who'll be interested in this. I think there'll be testing companies which could want to be in the same area where they could test batteries for startup companies as well as large companies and do testing for the end user before they put a large order in.
And finally, as someone who's associated with Binghamton University, I'm curious whether you have any strong feelings about the Speedies, which are the local delicacy there.
Yeah, I like them. My wife likes them. We haven't had too many since the COVID came, but we'll be getting back on that Speedy track very soon again, I think.
Well, we've been speaking with Stan Whittingham. He is a distinguished professor of chemistry at Binghamton University, who also won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for his work in 2019. Stan, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.